Alright, this is January 19th, and the topic this month is Do You Hear What I Hear?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It's the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential. This essential quality of our being. When I say touches the nature of life, life is God. And God always wants to appear. And God wants to appear in your life. But we must allow that. We must move over, get ourselves out of the way, and let God come through us. And God will come through. God comes through your mind. So you'll hear different things, but you have to move yourself out of the way in order to do that, okay? Now I have a card, I'll read it first, and I love this one. You live longer. Once you realize that any time spent being unhappy is wasted.
That's a good one.
Isn't that unhappiest way. We waste more time being unhappy. And that's our choice, you know. We don't have to. You tell, oh, no, I'm not very happy. That's a choice. All that stuff, anything in your life is a choice. So choose to be happy. We just have this idea that there's happy and unhappy. So, but why would you ever pick unhappy? You know, because things didn't go your way and this and other thing. Forget all that stuff. That's just the ego. That's just the hand that that's just your ego raising its head up one more time to cause pain, anxiety, and suffering in your life. So we want to let that go and not, you know, it's a choice. I love that. I can choose to be happy every moment, regardless of what's going on in my life. I can be happy. Isn't that wonderful? I wish I'd have known that too years and years ago, you know. But at least I'm learning it now, and I hope that you people are learning it also. So, now, the other thing is, here it is, the beginning of the year again. I mean, we're just into January, and it's the year 2015, I believe. So, in this year, in this month, perhaps I have been neglectful because we haven't done the matter dance forever and a day. So for people who don't know it, you don't know the matter dance, I'm sure. Pardon?
Casey showed
you. Oh, Casey showed you.
Wow.
Well, good. But we want to know that because the four things that we're always looking at is if you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. Any difficulty that comes into your life, you have to be able to answer those four questions. If you can answer all four questions, the problem goes away. So you have to know in your heart of hearts that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter thing.
Okay.
Oh my God. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I do that for myself during the day when I'm doing different things. I remind myself that I do matter. And you have to remind yourself that this is absolutely true. This is what we're here for, to matter. Now, we not only have to learn to matter to ourselves, we have to come to the realization that we matter to this thing called God. God, we matter to God. God would be incomplete without each and every one of us. Therefore, we do matter. But we get stuck in the idea that the world doesn't care, or our friends don't care, or our family doesn't care. That has nothing to do with anything. Do you care enough about yourself? Do you care enough about yourself to matter? So just pass that through your mind several times a day until it seeps in and you really do come to the conclusion, my goodness, I am worthy and deserving. I'm totally lovable and I matter. And it makes you feel so much better when you know those things. Now the other thing to remember is that this universe that we live in, that surrounds us, this is everywhere present, responds to us. And it responds to us with our thinking. It responds to us with our thinking. It's very sensitive. You cannot think any thought without setting up a vibration that's going to go out. And that vibration that you're setting up is going to go out and it's going to collect everything that you need. And then it'll come back to you, fulfilled. That's all this teaching is about when we say spiritual mind, when we do all these different things. It's knowing that the universe responds to you. The universe responds to you that you're very powerful. When I do spiritual mind treatment for people, regardless of what it is, if it's for their health, whatever, I make that big statement. You are whole. You are complete. You are perfect. God is with you right here and right now. Your whole being is being healed. And then I let that go, you see. Now I know it's going out. And it's going to come back to fulfill my word. That's how much you matter to this thing called God. And that's how sensitive this universe is. So when you're wanting something, just sit quietly. Put the word out. And you can visualize the vibration going out and coming back to you. Coming back to you. And it will do that. This thing called God wants to give you everything. Wants to give you everything. And we forget that. We forget that because we were raised not that way, were we? Your parents would say, or my parents would say to me, well, you can't have everything, Dallas. But you can. You see, God wants you to have everything. So the only thing that's ever keeping us from having what we want is our thinking, our mind. So here again, we have to go back to that idea. Is what do I hear inside here? Do I hear what I want to hear? You see, and start to hear good things about yourself. Try to hear good things about everyone, everything. The more you do that, the more stress comes out of your life. See, I don't worry about any of that stuff anymore. I take everything in front of me and say it's good. Doesn't matter. I say, oh, that's good. That's the power that you have to declare that everything is good in your life. You know, declare that. You're able to do that with this flu or whatever's going around. You can stave it off. It's all things are staved off with your thinking, with your mental capacity. The rest of it is nothing there. But see, more people are buying into it, and if you turned on the news and so forth, you would discover that this, whatever this is that they say is going around, they're shutting down schools in the East. Whole states are shutting down their schools. This is going on. This just builds and builds till people start to believe, oh my, there is something out there that's going to get me. There's nothing out there to get you, people. There's nothing out there. Say to yourself, only good comes into my life. And I do not have to play this game that everyone else is playing. Listen. Don't play the doctor game or the disease game where you think there's something going on that you're going to get something. You're not going to get it at all. It's the fear that you have that you're going to get. I'll tell you a cute story. Well, maybe I shouldn't use the word cute. I have a friend, Beverly. She used to live in Glendale. She now lives in Virginia with her daughter. She's 91 years old. Every time I talked to her the last few months, she said to me, well, I'm getting a little feeble, Dallas. I'm not so steady on my feet. I have to hold on to people. And going up the steps, like going under the handrail and all this, that, and the other thing. Now, she is a devotee of Lazarus, if anyone knows who Lazarus is. Lazarus is a speak-through entity, and he speaks through a man by the name of Jack Purcell. And what he says is very good. It's very metaphysical. But she's been doing that for over 30 years and spent a great deal of money on Lazarus, you know. Thousands during the year, seminars and everything else she took from this man. Well, anyway, now she knows better too, Beverly, because she is a metaphysician. But didn't she fall the other day and broke her hip? Took her right to the hospital, put in what's called a partial hip replacement. I didn't know they had full and partial things, but she has a partial. I called her yesterday and she's home already. She's home and standing and walking and so forth. Now she said therapists are going to come in during the week and help her get used to whatever you do, learn to re-walk. I don't know what you do. But did you see why I tell that story? I knew that was going to happen. She talked about it. She was setting up fear and she drew that to her. I'm feeling feeble. I'm not walking as well as I used to. I have to hold on to everything. That's setting their mind up for a fall, you see. Of course, I didn't tell that to her. I didn't say, guess what, you did this to yourself. I said to her, you mean to tell me you didn't have enough attention? You had to fall and break your hip to get attention? And she says, oh, you're absolutely right, Dallas. I'm not going to do that to myself. But anyway, what I'm trying to explain here is it's the fear that gets you. And when you have those thoughts going on in your head, stop them. They will manifest themselves. They always manifest themselves. And this is, you know, I don't know if they, I don't think I didn't, I haven't heard that they're calling this the flu season or anything. I haven't heard if they're even calling it the flu. I don't know what. But I hear people say, oh, everyone's down with it. We're not. So what's this everyone's down with it routine? So don't let fear take over your mind and over your thinking. Fear will draw things to you faster than this thing we call love. Why that is, I don't know. But what you fear most will come upon you.
The words you quoted her saying was, I am.
Oh, yeah. I am. I am getting feeble. I'm falling. I'm doing all that stuff, yes. The most powerful affirmation that you can ever make is, I am. So you have to know when you're saying, I am, you have to say, I am healthy. I am rich. All those things. It's the I am presence. So think about that, but go back to the idea that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. It seems like such a small thing, people, but it means a great deal. It means so much when you realize that. And don't you always like people that know that about themselves? They ooze self-confidence, you see? You cannot have self-confidence if you think you're not worthy or if you think you don't matter. You know, and I'm around people sometimes who say that, you know, I don't matter. I told you a couple of weeks ago about my friend who's always a, you know, crying poor mouth and so forth, and then turns around and buys a new car. So she's a little baffling, but she doesn't know she does all that. But she's in New York at the present moment. Now, she just bought the new car, then she bought a new mattress, then she did this, that, and everything. So she's going to New York. So she says to me, Dallas, would you drive me to the airport? LAX? What, you're going to stick a pin in my eye to drive to drive LAX? I didn't say anything to her, but I thought, Ruth, it's all right to ask people to take you someplace, but when you can do it yourself and you have the money to do it, you're hurting yourself by asking somebody, because you're telling your mind that you don't have the money for a cab or whatever to go to LAX. So the next day or so, she said to me, I said, how'd that go with you? Did you find a ride? She said, I'm going to take Uber to the airport. Mm-hmm. That's how you build your consciousness, people. That's how you build a wealth consciousness, a money consciousness. By doing that, so many people think, oh boy, I'll ask him, you know, to take me and I'll save that money. Well, you may save the money, but you're not saving your consciousness, and you're certainly not saving your prosperity consciousness by doing things like that. I have a friend, well, you hear me talk about him all the time, Doug the Baptist. Doug the Baptist will sit on his wallet so the cows come home before he'll open it and pay for something. And I have to tell him, Doug, pay for that. When the check comes, you pick it up. Don't you sit there. Have you ever been out with somebody and they sit there? You know damn well what they're doing. They're waiting for you to pick up the check. Drives me crazy. Pick the check up and pay it. He has, and it's not like he doesn't have money. He has money. But if they ask him, he'd say, oh, no, I don't have any money. I'm very poor and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do things. You cannot do that. This mind that we have listens to everything. It hears everything. And it makes little notes. Oh, he can't afford that, you know. You're building the wrong consciousness, you know. You don't have to be flamboyant. You don't have to be a spendthrift and all that. But you have to be honest about the situation and the money, you see. If somebody takes you out to dinner and keeps taking you out to dinner and you never pick up the check, that doesn't say much about you and your character, you know. Because I hear people say, well, they have more money than I do. You don't know how much money those people have. But I do know the people that pick up the check and treat people all the time have lots of money. They have lots of money and they're not afraid to spend their money. The more they give, the more comes to them. It's that type of attitude. That type of attitude. And those are the people you want to be around, the ones that have that money consciousness. Don't be around the other people, please. You know, Doug the Baptist drives me crazy because I just up and tell him, you're being cheap, pay the bill, you know. Pay the bill. You know, what is it? How much are you saving? You know, $15, $25, maybe $50 in a place. That's not that much money, you know, to say, oh, I saved $50, yes. And then you'll go do something stupid, and they'll go, you won't have that anyway, that $50. It's funny. But this is the way consciousness works. This is the way your mind works. So you have to know that. Now see, I point that out to the people. Now I never point that out to the woman who thinks she's poor. I do mention to her. I say, I wish you would stop doing that. I don't like to be around people who talk poor mouth all the time. Well, what do you mean? I knew. I said, well, trying to get a hitchhike a ride to the airport certainly doesn't show much consciousness, you see. When I travel, I put that into my budget, how much it's going to cost to get to the airport and so forth. I just put that right in there, and I don't ask people to take me to the airport. Now, maybe Burbank I would ask somebody, but I would never ask somebody to take me to LAX. It's a half a day, you know, driving out there, doing and getting back. So don't do that to people, and don't do that to yourself, you see? And you'll find that the money will just keep coming in. It will just keep coming in. So, here we are, talking about mind, which is the only thing we ever talk about. Mind is the only thing there ever is, you know. When you were in school and so forth, you had the saying, mind over matter. Well, there's no such thing as mind over matter. It's always mind over mind. Because there's only mind. There's no matter. If there's matter, it's mind acting as matter. It's mind acting as matter. So you use your mind to bring into your life what you want. But in order to do that, you must hear what your mind is saying. And you must, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the tagline on the end of something, you know? You have to hear what your mind is doing to you. And once you get that down, That's called becoming a witness to your own thinking. Once you realize that you can do anything with that thinking, you see, that's where your power is in all that thinking. So why would you want to think that? Why would you want to think you're unhappy? You see, I don't care if the world's falling apart around you. You do not have to be unhappy. That's a state of mind. And you're in control of every state of mind that you have. So, you have to tell your mind, no, I want to be happy. I want to be filled with joy. I want to be filled with love. And you will start to do that, and you will also start to see that. That when you learn to control your thinking, you control your life. When you learn to control your thinking, you control your life. Don't let the outside world tell you how to think or what to think or tell you what's going on. Now, as I said, I haven't seen anything on the news or the papers or something. I'm sure it's out there. But there's something going around at the present moment. There's always something going around, you know? Always something going around. You're the one who has to decide, do I want it to live with me? Do I want it to stay here with me? Or let it go someplace else? I just tell it to go. Keep going. Keep traveling. Don't stop at my door. You know? And it won't. That is the power that you have. And this is what you have to start thinking about. How does this mind of mine work? And how can I work it so that I get out of life what I want? And I said before, and I'll say it again, I'm almost sure that in the Bible when it says the gift has already been given, that's the gift of mind. We have everything. We're always looking for something new and different. We have it all already, you see. And I fall for that because I love to read. So every new book that comes down the pike, I go buy it, if it's a metaphysical book or whatever. Well, when you're finished, you say, oh, I knew that. Everything is already in here. Everything is already in here. You don't. People want to change their lives. You can change your life instantly. Everything can be changed instantly. But in order to do that, you must give up the old. You must give up the ideas about yourself. The ideas that this culture has taught you. The ideas that your parents have taught you. You see. In order to become new, in order to change, in order to become different, you must give up all the old stuff. And it's instant, people. Or you say to yourself, I'm no longer going to do that. I am no longer going to think that way. I don't care how long I've been thinking that thought, it's wrong. I'm not going to do it. If it comes in again, say, get out of here. Go away, go away. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. So we're never going to be able to get away from that. We can learn all the other things, but if we don't learn how to manage our mind, it's not going to work for us. The same way, people who have computers, if you don't learn the whole computer, it's not going to do what you want it to do, is it? You have to learn how to do that. I'm still learning the computer. But I have learned my mind, and I can see what my mind wants to do. And I tell it, no, I don't want that. Here's what I want. You see. Here's the way I want to see life. You see. I want to be filled with love and joy, prosperity, abundance. And I want to see it all around me. I want to see it in everybody I meet. And I want to only draw those people to me. And you will draw those people to you. Because here again, it's that vibration going out and coming back. If you can see that this whole environment that we're living in is sort of like, well, let's say it's sort of like Jell-O, and you can press on it. You can do something with it. You can make a mold, and that has to be filled with something. So we're always making in our mind, we want something. And the more we think about that, the bigger and the better and the stronger the mold becomes. And it will fill itself for you. It will fill it up. See how sensitive you really are. And how sensitive this universe is. In the summer, go out and lay down in the grass. Flat down in the grass. And you will feel the movement of the earth, and you will also start to connect yourself with this whole thing because it's all connected together. And the more you do that, the more connections you see. Then you start to live in a world that is able to manifest for you. Your world will manifest for you. You don't have to wait. You know, years ago people waited, what, for heaven? That was a good one. And I thought, oh, well, I'll wait till I get to heaven, then I'll be able to do all this. You better do it now. You know? Just do it now. But know that you have the power to do that. No. I'm not telling you this. I'm not telling you a lie. I'm telling you that these things actually happen. I'm telling you that you have the power to bring into your life what you want. And you do that by realizing that you're putting something out into the universe and it's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. Everything is vibrating. And when we vibrate at the level of the manifestation will come. You see? Most people do not vibrate at the level of their treatment. They vibrate much lower than that. You have to learn to raise your vibration. Just raise it up. How do you do that? You tell yourself, I'm raising my vibration. You know, oh, it must be a trick. There's no trick to any of this. Tell yourself, I'm vibrating. And I'm vibrating at a different level than I ever vibrated from before. And you will start to do that. And you will start to see the things that come in to your life. The things that come into your life. One of the easiest things to bring into your life is this thing that we call money. And everyone thinks it's so hard. Money is difficult. Money is... You have to get that out of your mind. You have to say to yourself, money is the easiest thing in the world to bring into my life. And then start bringing it into your life. So, how do I bring things into my life? By knowing that all my needs are always met. All my needs are always met. So when I have a need, I say, ha ha, that will be fulfilled. If I have a need, the universe knows I have that need, and the universe will fill that need up for me. It will do it. It actually does that, people. It actually does that. And it's been doing that since day one, you see? It's been doing it. And then this teaching has been taught since day one. People have known about this all for centuries, for millenniums. They've known about it. This man named Jesus knew about it, knew how to do it. Then that got all convoluted when they made a church out of that. People years ago in metaphysics used to be able to do all that stuff.
Speaking of the devil,
he's giving us tons of money here.
Thank you.
One for a couple, please.
$1 million. Thank you, thank you. I'm wealthy.
Yes, very.
Jason, can you break this?
Sure.
You have change.
I like those numbers.
You're in the middle.
So this is another one? Is that our present?
What happens if you pass it at the gas station?
See,
oh, yeah,
if it takes, put it in one of the automated if it takes, you'll be all right.
Okay.
But that's this is good to have this around. Put it up where you can see it and say to yourself, this is, you know.
You said it once, when you find a penny on the ground, let this be the beginning of your newfound fortune.
Absolutely.
So whether it's a penny or this, it's like, that's how I think and feel.
Yes.
And I tell people.
And I always pick pennies up. I never walk over a penny. People say, oh, it's only a penny. I said, yes, but it could turn into a dollar in no time.
The person selling these are making a fortune.
Well, absolutely. But that's good. And here comes our friend Scott. So, here again, it's all mind, people. And we have to listen to our mind. And I was saying about Jesus knew this, and then, of course, they made a religion out of that whole thing. And we lost most of it. We lost most of metaphysics. And then, of course, there was a lot of metaphysical teachers starting in the 20s, and they knew a great deal. But then they turned around and made religions out of that too, made churches and built things and so forth, and that went down the tubes. One of the biggest metaphysical churches, which is still going, is Mary Baker Eddy's churches, Christian Science. And Christian Scientists, by the way, are wonderful healers. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful healers. They've been doing it for so long, they know exactly what it is, and nothing gets in their way. And that's what we must do. We must absolutely believe this and know that this thing that we call God, or this thing we call the universe, is prepared and wants to give you everything. Wants to give you everything. You see? God shows no favorites. If God can do something for one person, God can do it for all people. For all people. And that's what we want to learn. We want to learn that we are very special. We're very special to this thing we call God. Why are we very special to this thing called God? Because we are God itself, people. That's a very difficult one for most people to grasp. And if I were in the land of Nod and said that, they would probably ask me to go, to leave, because they're absolutely convinced that God is somewhere doing something, either for you or against you. That's their problem. You see, if something good happens, it's God. If something bad happens, it's God. God does not create bad things, people. That's an impossibility for God to create anything bad. If something bad is going on in your life, you're creating it. You are creating it. Now, you don't punish yourself. You set yourself down and say, what the hell am I thinking? What am I thinking? And then change your thinking about it. Whatever it may be, you could always change your thinking. That is the most marvelous thing to realize, because that gives you the freedom. You are never stuck. You have the freedom to change your mind. And you can change your mind every minute if you want to. Every minute that you want to. Your life, we have that wonderful saying, just take life one day at a time. Take life one day at a time. I'm telling you to take life one thought at a time. One thought at a time. What am I thinking right here and right now? Am I holding myself in the highest of esteem? Do I know that I'm connected to this thing called God? Do I know that I have the power to create my own life? Do I know that it has nothing to do with my past? It has nothing to do with the tribe I was born into. It has nothing to do with the family, the culture, anything. It has to do with my thinking. This is why so many studies have been made of families and so forth. There was a wonderful study about twins, and they were separated at, no, they weren't separated, that's wrong. They grew up together. One became an alcoholic, and one never touched alcohol. So they interviewed them, and they said, why are you an alcoholic? He said, well, my father was an alcoholic, and I watched it when I was growing up, and I knew I'd become an alcoholic. The other one said, I saw my father drinking all the time, knew he was an alcoholic, and I made up my mind not to do that. See, it's done with your mind. Now, we get the world loves to give you that pass. Well, you can't help yourself. Your father was an alcoholic, alcoholism runs in families and this and the other thing. Give that. That's the world telling you that. Give that up. Say, I have a power inside of me that can do anything for me that I want. And what I want for myself right now is no drinking. No drinking. And you won't drink. I have nothing against drinking. If you want to drink, please feel free to. I did all my drinking in my younger years, so I don't have to drink. I have no desire to drink. No desire, and I can be around it. I could sit at the bar all day long and never say, oh, I guess I'll have a drink. Which is another thing. Alcoholics are afraid to be around booze because it's telling them to drink it. I have bottles of booze. I have a bottle of booze in my freezer. Or yes, it's my freezer. It's vodka for my college roommate when he comes. How many times I open that freezer door, that bottle never says drink me. That bottle never talks to me. Your mind talks to you. So you have to train your mind. You see. Train your mind not to do those things. This is not who I want to be. This is not the way I want my life to go. So it has nothing to do with your family. You can change any of that. You don't have to become a product of your condition. You don't have to. Most of the world does, but you don't have to. You can say, ah, yes, all those things happened to me, but I'm overcoming them all. I'm letting them go. I'm not going to allow myself to dwell on the past. When you dwell on anything, it multiplies. It stays with you. Never think thoughts that you don't want to think. You see? Never think thoughts that you don't want to think. Think thoughts that you want to think. Listen to what your mind is saying to you. And see if you can hear what's going on up there. You can. The mind just keeps going. What is the one thing that I hope I have taught you people about mind? You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. You are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. So use it. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift. And we can learn to do that. We can learn to live differently. We can learn to think differently. You see? Let's do those things for ourselves. Let's see what we can do. Now, a quick little sidebar here. They're picking on my Pope. I don't like it. You know, when the big thing, whatever it was, that went off in with the Muslims that went with in Paris. They asked him what he thought, you know, of the Muslims in the Paris. And he said, no one should ever make fun of somebody's religion. No one should make fun of somebody else's religion. I thought that was succinct. I thought it was right on target. Do you know they had a panel discussion that he should have said something different? And he should have said, and then they want to tell him what he should have said, these people. Ridiculous. The man was right on it. And these damn panel discussions just drive me crazy. It's somebody else's opinion always. And they think they're so clever and smart. I think this Pope is fantastic. And I think he's doing a wonderful job in the context of the church itself. There are many dogmas in that church, many rules and regulations. He just can't go in, you know, with a machete and get rid of all that stuff overnight. It's a process, and he's doing it very well. He's doing it very well. I told you the reason that I got so attracted to him and thought he was just an absolutely wonderful person. They asked him when he just first became Pope, they asked him something. And I don't know what the question was, but he said, "Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?" You see? And we have to remember that. Who are we to judge? Now, when we're doing that, we have to hear what our mind is saying also. And we must never judge ourselves. You see? We must never judge ourselves. I think that's what's wrong with the world. And especially with religions. They want you to learn to love God. They want you to learn to love your neighbor and so forth. But have you ever heard them say, you should learn to love yourself? You should learn to love yourself. That is what this whole thing is about, people, is love. And it's love of self. You see, if you loved yourself, you would know that you were worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. It would just automatically be there. But we weren't taught that, were we? So we have to get over that one, and we have to let that go. I'd say if the rest of the world wants to think that way, let them. I'm not going to. This is the way I'm going to think. And I'm going to start to love myself more and more and more. I do. I think I told you years ago, the more you love yourself, the more comes into your life. The more you love yourself, the more comes into your life. So we have to learn to love ourselves, people. And listen to what's going on in your mind. See if you can hear what I hear. Can you hear that? And you can. You can learn to do it. We can all become witnesses to our own thinking. And that is one of the main things in life, to become a witness. Most people are unconscious. They're sleeping. It's not our job to wake them up. Our job is to wake ourselves up. Once we wake ourselves up and use ourselves as an example, then people will start to change. And this is what that man 2,000 years ago said. You see, learn to love yourself. Try that. Love yourself. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.